Well, friends, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open in front of you at Psalm 8. We're going to look at Psalm 8 together, page 386. Well, friends, what can we say about Psalm 8? I was actually talking with Wayne this morning, and we were talking about Psalms, and one of the complexities of preaching with Psalms is that you could go all day. You could literally preach on Psalm 8 for 24 hours, and you wouldn't be done with it. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to preach for 24 hours. I'm going to preach for 20 minutes. But quite a lot can be said about this psalm, and I think it's fitting if we start at the beginning. We're going to start with the title. We often forget about the title, but of course, a lot of the titles in our psalms are written there from the beginning. So our title today is "For the Director of Music, According to Gittith, a Psalm of David." So the first thing we learn about Psalm 8 is that it is for the director of music. That is, this psalm is a hymn. It is one that the nation of Israel used to get together and sing together. This would have been one of the hymns or the songs that they would have sung. And this is one of the few psalms that mentions the style. This psalm is according to Gittith. Now, I've got to be honest with you, scholars have been talking about this for about 2,000 years, and they've decided that they're not sure what Gittith means. Our NIV Pew Bibles at the bottom of page 386 mentions that Gittith is probably a musical term, and so we can piece together that this psalm was a song, indeed, and it probably had a musical pattern to it. The last thing that we should note is that Psalm 8 is one of King David's psalms that were attributed to him. So these things are good for us to know before we begin looking at the psalm, because it gives us insight into what the psalm was used for. So David is the author, and it is a hymn that the nation of Israel would gather and sing together. Now, in terms of what the psalm holds for us, I want to draw out three ideas that the psalm will bring out. So today's three meanings are going to be, it's going to be a little bit different to how I normally preach, friends. I'm going to theme them, and our three meanings are going to be themed with the letter M. There are our three points. So if we were on Sesame Street, today's sermon is brought to you by the letter M. So firstly, Psalm 8, it shows us that God is majestic. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And if that doesn't encapsulate that enough, David drives the point home again in verse 9, and he says exactly the same thing. He repeats the same phrase, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now what you'll notice as you read verses 1 and 9 is that the word Lord is written twice in each verse. O Lord, our Lord. The two words for Lord, they're not actually the same word in the original language, in the Hebrew language that it was written in. Whenever you see the word Lord written in capitals, it should give you a hint that it's a different word for Lord. And in this case, it is true. So one of them is written in capitals, and the other one is mostly lowercase. So the word Lord in capitals is the word Yahweh. And that is a special and personal name for God that the Israelites used. It is God's name. It is set apart for him only. And so the nation of Israel are saying effectively, O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so this is important for us to recognize, because it distinguishes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that we serve, with false gods. Yahweh, our Lord. How majestic is your name? And I think the main point of Psalm 8 can be found in verses 1 and 9. And that main point of showing God's majesty is to show that everyone, every person, everything, everywhere in the whole world depends absolutely and entirely on God. The aim of this psalm is to show how majestic, how wonderful, how beautiful, how powerful, how absolute and upright the Lord is. And as it shows God's glory there, it shows God's majesty, it shows that we as the creation of the Creator God are to stand in awe of Him and worship Him. And the end of verse 1 follows this through. It shows God's glory exalted. It says, "You have set your glory above the heavens." So God is the greatest of all beings. Now we're going to skip verse 2 for now. And we're going to come back to this. So let's go forward to verses 3 and 4. I'll read them for you now. "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" God is a wonderful and majestic creator who verse 3 says makes the heavens. And so keeping in mind the nation of Israel, as they come together and they sing this psalm together, they are encouraged to consider how wonderful God is, the majesty of God, that He created the heavens. He is the one who created the moon and the stars. It places all this emphasis, all of Psalm 8 places all this emphasis on God's majesty. And I think the counter effect there is that it brings us to, and shows us how infinitely small we are. And the psalmist addresses this majestic creator God who created the moon and stars and says in verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" What is man that you are mindful of him? What is insignificant man? What is it that insignificant, small mankind, that God would even think to look at them? What is man in the scheme of the majestic creator God even doing in Psalm 8? Well, let's find out. Verses 6 to 8. "You've made him ruler over the works of your hands. You've put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas." So what is insignificant man's role that the majestic creator God has given him for this world? Well, despite the fact that humanity is infinitely small compared to the massive reaches of God's world, his creation, man is given the role to rule over it. And the place of humanity in God's created order shows us where we sit. It says that we sit a little lower than the heavenly beings or the angels, and we're meant to rule over this world. So friends, our first point today, God is majestic. This psalm shows us everything in the whole world depends on God, and that we as the creation ought to stand in awe of him. We are to worship him, and we are created to rule in this world. And so that's the first point. God is majestic. The second point I want us to recognize is that Psalm 8 shows us that God is mighty. God is mighty. And we skipped verse 2, so I want to go back to verse 2 now. Let's look at verse 2 in your Bibles in front of you. "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." I wonder if you've noticed, as we read Psalm 8 today, the difference of verse 2 compared to the rest of Psalm 8. I think there's quite a difference. Every other verse in Psalm 8, except for 2, displays the splendor and the majesty of God. But verse 2, it sort of focuses on something different. And that something different is namely children and infants. It focuses on babies. And particularly, I think Psalm 8 verse 2 wants us to see the frailty and the dependence that babies have. And as most of you know, my wife and I, we know a little bit about babies. We've got two kids ourselves. Our kids are dependents. Piper turned 1 in October, and Alexander is turning the old age of 3 tomorrow. So from my experience, I want to tell you a little bit about what I've learned about babies. Babies need care. They need a lot of care. They are born weak and they don't know what's best for them. Xander would like to think he knows what's best. But as was proven last night when we asked him to go to bed because he was tired, He thought he knew best because he wanted to stay up. We knew best. So they're born weak. They don't know what's best for them. They can't fend for themselves. They can't look after themselves. They're born with no wisdom. They're not born with knowledge. And they are completely dependent on their parents. They're dependent on anyone and everyone else around them. And friends, in the eyes of the world, babies are quite insignificant. That is, they don't have anything to offer compared to when they're older and they can work, they can provide for themselves. They're frail. They need others to look after them. Now, at this point, don't get me wrong. I love my kids. I do. I want to put all thoughts out of your minds there. I love my kids. I love children. And they add so much value to our household. I couldn't imagine life without them. But in terms of their independence and ability to look after themselves, they don't have it yet. And friends, on a side note, a personal note, I just can't wait to not have to change their nappies. I can see you nodding, all you parents. You know what I'm talking about. So why does our author here mention babies? Why does he mention children and infants in Psalm 8? Well, because of what God does with those babies. Think about what's being said here. Verse 2. Let's look at it again. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So God gives us the image here of his enemies, his foes, his avengers. And what's happening to them? They're being defeated by babies. His enemies are being defeated by babies, specifically as they praise God. Children and infants are defeating God's enemies, and when they open their mouths, whatever it is that they say, it's powerful enough to stop and to silence and to still the enemy. It stops them in their tracks. God uses babies to show his might. God, Creator God, out of his majesty and greatness, he goes down to the smallest of us and makes babies the ones who defeat his enemies and what they say. So why would you use the image of babies? Why would that happen? I think David chooses the image of babies because he knows that babies are incredibly vulnerable. And God is able to build up those who are most vulnerable, those who are weak, those who are frail, those who can't offer much, those who are seen as insignificant to some. God uses those and he builds up a people who are stronger than his enemies to defeat him. Isn't that incredible? The glory of God's might is greater because it comes about through human weakness. Out of the mouths of babies, God shows his powerful might to his enemies. It's hard to capture Israel singing that, isn't it? We sing every Sunday, but could you imagine singing, God, you vanish and vanquish your enemies through babies. It's strange, but it's magnificent because God is mighty. And so that's the second point. Psalm 8 shows us God is mighty. The third and the final point I want to share with you today is that Psalm 8 shows us that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is the King that would come and save his people from sin. And that is to say, I believe that Psalm 8 points us wholly and completely to Jesus. Psalm 8 is used as prophecy and it points us to the Messiah being Jesus fulfilled in the New Testament. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes now and I just want to show you how Psalm 8 points us to Jesus as Messiah. Psalm 8 appears a few different places in the New Testament, but it's mainly in four different areas in the Bible. And so firstly, I want to take us to Matthew 21. Now you probably know Matthew 21 very well. Matthew 21 is when Jesus gives his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday is what we call it. When people throw down their cloaks and they lay down branches from trees. Straight after that, Jesus enters the temple area and he he shows us his righteous anger. He turns the temple tables from the money lenders. He cleanses the temple from sin. And then he begins to heal people. Of note, Matthew 21 says he heals blind and lame who come to him. This is all happening in the same day. And you can imagine that those who were watching were not impressed. In particular, he upsets a lot of the chief priests and the teachers. They look at Jesus and what he's just done to the temple. They see the healings he's doing. And the priests and teachers are angry. They're upset. But do you know what gets them to their final straw? Do you know what makes them say something? It's when they hear something in the background. They hear the children shouting in the temple. They hear the children shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And then they decide they've got to say something. They hear the children, know the significance of that. Thinking of Psalm 8 verse 2, they hear the children praising the Lord. And they get angry and annoyed. And Matthew 21 verse 16 says, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they say to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus replies, "Yes. Yes, I do. Have you never read?" And then he quotes Psalm 8 too. "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise." So Jesus responds to the chief priests and teachers regarding their anger, regarding their resentment, their frustration at what Jesus has done. And he quotes Psalm chapter 8 verse 2 to them. And in doing this, Jesus is pointing the chief priests and the teachers to who he is. He's basically saying, "Guys, haven't you read Psalm 8? Children and infants, those who are insignificant, will defeat God's enemies." Jesus is showing himself to be God by pointing out that Psalm chapter 8 verse 2 is about him. And these children are saying Hosanna to Jesus because out of the lips of children, praise is given to defeat God's enemies. So Jesus shows himself to be God. Psalm 8 points to Jesus being Messiah. Now, I mentioned there are four areas of the New Testament that quote Psalm 8. That's one of them. And the other three are very similar. They're quoted elsewhere in the New Testament. And it comes from Psalm chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. So I'm going to read that again for you. "You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet." That's Psalm 8, 5 and 6. Now, the places Psalm chapter 8 verses 5 and 6 are quoted from in the New Testament are from three areas. It's re-quoted in Ephesians 1, it's re-quoted in 1 Corinthians 15, and it's also in Hebrews chapter 2. And they all talk about Jesus being the one who was made lower than the heavenly beings, Jesus being the one crowned with glory and honor, Jesus being the ruler, and Jesus the one who has placed all that he rules under his feet. So Psalm 8 points us to Jesus as Messiah. And friends, we know that Jesus is Messiah because of what he came to do and what he did. Because he came, because he died for sin, because Jesus rose from death, providing hope, because Jesus ascended again as king, because Jesus proved himself to be God, Jesus is the one that Psalm 8 is talking about. And so, friends, these are the three M's that Psalm 8 teaches us this Sunday. Number one, Psalm 8 teaches us that God is majestic. God is glorious. The whole world was created by him and through him. And we as the creation stand in awe of him. Number two, Psalm 8 teaches us that God is mighty. God's might is shown through human weakness. Out of the mouths of babies, out of the mouths of children and infants, God shows his powerful might to his enemies. And point three, Psalm 8 teaches us that Jesus is Messiah. It points us to Jesus, the one who fulfills all things. Jesus, Messiah. And it points us to King Jesus, putting all enemies under his feet. So let me pray by thanking God for these things right now. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your majesty. Your name is majestic in all the earth. Your glory is displayed everywhere in this world, showing your greatness, your splendor. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your might, that from the lips of children and infants they bring forth praise, silencing your enemies. Thank you that your might is greater than all other things, coming about through human weakness in the face of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that Psalm 8 teaches us that Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the one who has put all enemies under his feet because of his death and resurrection on the cross. And Lord, as we enter Christmas time and we prepare for Christmas Day, would you place in each of us the majesty and might of God through Jesus Christ, the one to whom Psalm 8 points us to, Jesus Messiah. Amen.